First Peter. Again, reading just verses 1 and 2 as we carefully work through this great, great epistle. This is the word of the Lord. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Those of you, and some of you are much younger and haven't hit this yet, some of you have gone off at some point, whether to college or off in the military or off away from home for your first job at a distance. And you know the benefit of receiving from home a care package that stuffed with cookies, that box with a card, a note. Maybe you're, if cookies aren't your thing, maybe it's something else. Maybe something you forgot from home, something special, one of your possessions that is sent along the way because somehow your family knows you will need that. We will, as Tiffany said, this week we'll be going down to North Carolina and we'll see my mom. And we never leave that house empty, right? We always leave with whatever she happened to bake while we were there. She knows the different dietary needs that that some have, so she'll fix special treats for Tiffany and Donna, and then she'll fix the rest of the stuff for Angelique and I that can be whatever. Even if there's leftover meal, it's not just desserts. You might think me that way, but I eat other things. Whether it's a leg of lamb, which she likes to make for us, and she will be making for us, by the way. And she packs it up and she sends it because we're not there often. Often we're far away. Often we're where she's not. And that care package sent to us is just that. It's a package that brings a little bit of home, sends it with us where we go, just like you may have received them in the military or in college. Or sent them to your own kids when they've been off and they've gone off and you've said, let me fix this. We miss them and we know they miss us and we'll send it on our way, that taste of home. They're for those living in a scattered, distant place, living off perhaps as a freshman, a stranger to the university setting, a basic trainee, new to the whole military scheme and the whole rank structure, getting yelled at and knowing this isn't home. Or a community where you haven't put down roots yet and everyone's a stranger. And you're the stranger because you don't know what's going on in the community and what is not, what there is to do and who's who and all that. First Peter is a care package. It is a taste of home. It brings helpful instruction to churches that lived apart from their central home, the home they had not yet gone to, but yet have come down there from. They've been raised up with Christ into heavenly places, yet they are scattered. They are exiles. The gospel had come to these people, complete with that hope of eternal life with Christ Jesus and with the saints, a better city, a far more glorious land, a healthy, safe, happy, engaging land of peace. But they were in their relative cities, respective cities, scattered in Asia Minor. They were strangers. The difference clearly being the fact that they were strangers in the places that were their own homes at one point. They had become strangers by their union with Christ. They had become strangers when they became Christians. All of a sudden it isn't home anymore. All of a sudden they have that feeling of the new basic trainee being yelled at by a drill sergeant. Or that awkward freshman not knowing where to find the first class. Or your new neighbor down the road trying to find out where to get groceries in town. You have known that feeling. Unsettled, homeless, even when you have a roof upon your head. And what Peter does is give comfort to the saints wherever the Lord and His providence has brought them. We want to see first this evening the comfort of being strangers who are strangers in it together. The comfort of being strangers who are strangers in the world together. We are, as part of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, a congregation that is strangers in the land. We are not right next door to our brothers and sisters at Grace. We are not right next door to other Reformed churches. We have our place in this community, but it's good to be strangers together, even from that distance. Peter has a number of people that were localized in the Roman provinces that made up what is now Turkey and Asia or Asia Minor. They are called sojourners, exiles, strangers, foreigners even. All these words used in the different various translations emphasize that the world to them has become a very foreign and strange place. It is foreign to them, so they feel foreign to the world, right? It is foreign to us, and so we can't help but feel that we are foreign to them. You get that feeling when you talk to someone from another country. You get that feeling that there's something foreign about you, and there's something foreign about them. The world has become a foreign place. The geographical location they happen to inhabit at this part as Peter goes through, relatively counterclockwise as he names them, or rather clockwise, starting in the north along the Black Sea with Pontus. And we know from Acts that there were some Jews from Pontus present at Pentecost in Jerusalem. He then mentions Galatia to the south and center of Asia Minor, then Cappadocia to the center and east, and then Asia to the west, Cappadocia and Asia, both other places where people had come from to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And finally, he mentions Bithynia, the place where Paul was initially forbidden to go. There's a church there. Yeah, Paul was not there. He ended up in Macedonia. But the church, nevertheless, was planted in Bithynia, and there are saints there. It is not exhaustive in its reach. It's not necessarily all the Christian churches in the Roman world, but it did cover, if you recall your geography, a quite big swath of land. The areas covered had Jewish populations for sure from the spread of Judaism out in the years before Christ. But Peter's audience would not have been strictly Jewish. By the early 60s, A.D., the church had taken on and become more Gentile in character. Even if you think about the church having gone up to Antioch, and Antioch being the missionary home of Paul and Barnabas. That was where Paul would come back and report there, not Jerusalem, Antioch. Later in church history, it would shift even to Ephesus. Peter implies through his letter that a good portion, at least, of his readers were Gentiles. In chapter 1, verse 18, he says that his readers were delivered from a futile way of life inherited from their forefathers. Not likely that Peter would say that about Jews, the covenant people. It's not likely that Peter would refer to the prophets of the Old Testament and Moses as being those forefathers who had futile ways. In 2 verse 10, he writes that they were previously, those to whom he is writing, were previously not God's people, and were at some point without mercy. But now they had become the people of God and had received mercy. Again, something that wasn't likely to be said of the Jews. So Peter has in his mind, as he's writing to these people scattered about, Jews, but mostly Gentile. They were in it, however, together. They were strangers in their home places, but in good company overall. He's writing this letter. It's a general epistle, but not a general epistle that doesn't have some designation of recipients. He says, and everyone who got the letter, if you were from Galatia, you'd read, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. If you were from Cappadocia, you'd be mentioned right along with Pontus, Galatia, Asia, Bithynia. If you were from Bithynia, you'd find all these places that to whom Peter is writing that says you are exiles scattered about. You're dispersed. But you are not dispersed alone. You may be dispersed to different places, but it is not a lonely dispersion. You go off, but you go off a people who happen to be receiving this beautiful care package which comes in the form of a letter. You might have found the letter to be the most wonderful part of a care package, that little note thrown at the top. Maybe as a kid, you'd unwrap a present through and not care about anything, not a card or anything, go for the cash in the card or whatever. But when you're older and you're reflecting upon what's important, that note, that letter becomes really, really precious. So they had the comfort, first of all, of being scattered, but not scattered alone. It's the Catholicity of the church, brothers and sisters. It's the fact that if we were that church isolated in some place of another country, we would not be the only church. If we were that church in China, distant from others, if we were that church in Syria, or that church in some other place, surrounded by so much unbelief, we would be comforted to know that somewhere, though not within walking distance on a short trip, there was another church. Somewhere there were another people of God living. Somewhere there was another encampment of those who love the Lord. Somewhere in that vast army base and some barracks, there is another Christian. Somewhere on that university campus, somewhere out there as a freshman, perhaps coming from a Christian school or coming from a Christian family and going to a secular university, somewhere out there is another Christian who's going through what you're going through. Somewhere in that community to which you have moved, there's another Christian. We are dispersed, but we're really not alone being dispersed. But secondly, there's the comfort of the Lord's secure hold on their place at home. The comfort of the Lord's secure hold on their place and the everlasting home. And the place where there's always a bed for you, where you can go back and be welcomed. Peter reminds them of what makes their attachment to their everlasting home really eternally secure. Like the student off to school, the young family moving for that first job wants to be remembered at home, wants that secure place, that there is some place to go home to that hasn't forgotten them. That sense that they belong somewhere. They may not belong among this people who are strangers to them, who have different views, not just different views, have a different religion altogether. But that there's somewhere, there's a home where they belong. And people crave belonging. The certainty that when you go somewhere, you will be welcomed. And those without that sense of belonging suffer, and you may have seen them, they're all around you. They suffer confusion and great conflict, and they struggle with stability in their lives because there's nowhere they belong. That's one of the myths of the unbelieving world, that somehow they're together in it. When the fact of the matter is, hell will not have the comfort of at least sharing it with others. There'll be no comfort in God's judgment with at least saying, well, at least we're not alone in hell. Their relationship to the world might be and was as strangers, people who belong somewhere but not the place where they presently were situated. But the Lord comforts them in their special belonging. He says they are elect. They are elect exiles. Exiles, to be sure, not home. They are out away from that eternal home. They are somewhere surrounded by people that are foreign to them. But they are elect, and that's an important thing for the apostle to write to them. It's like saying, you know, here's a note just reminding you that you will always be family. And there'll always be a place for you. It was wonderful. We had a visitor this morning from San Antonio, Texas. And his son pastors a church out there, an OPC church. And we were talking afterwards, and he said, I mentioned that I love San Antonio. I'd been there in the service. And he said, well, if you ever come, you've got a place to stay. Right? And I mean, I look at this crowd, and I've stayed in your home when we moved here, right? You've opened up your home, right? You've opened up your... People open up their... You all open up your homes. Peter writes this letter, and he says, to those who are elect, chosen, special, not strangers because you're odd, not strangers because you're unwanted, not strangers because you don't have a home, but just you happen to be strangers to that particular place, which isn't your home. You may be the new kid on campus, but your 18-year-old twin bed is still waiting for you, and it's still there. By saying this, Peter says, you are the wheat. It's everyone around you who are the tares. It turns the tables on that feeling of being out of place. You're out of place? No. You may feel out of place. You are a stranger to them. But they're the ones who are strangers to me, God says. And in the end, they will realize that they're the strangers, and you're the one who belongs. Because you are elect. You're elect. You're the elect of God. You are the ones upon whom the attention and special purpose of God is focused. Well, what gives them the special status? How is it maintained? Why should they be comforted in a foreign land? It is first because their election is according to the foreknowledge of God. That's what secures it. Their status is a choice made by God before the foundation of the world, Ephesians tells us. It is related to a purposed decision made beforehand. Peter uses the same word in chapter 1, verse 20 to refer to Christ, who was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Christ, who was eternally with God, was not foreknown in the mere sense of looking into the future and seeing His incarnation, but rather the foreknowledge of Christ is set in contrast, or rather set together with the manifestation of Christ in the flesh. This man Acts tells us, delivered over by the predetermined and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put unto death. Foreknowledge is connected with purpose all the time. Predestination is connected with purpose. We might say, with combining election and foreknowledge, it means belonging. And a belonging that cannot be taken away. And a home that will never be removed. Never shut to you. The locks aren't changed when you leave. In fact, you go off with a key. You always go. You always go as a Christian. Wherever you go with a key. God doesn't change the locks. Because His very choice of you is for the very purpose of giving you that eternal home. He's foreknown you for that reason. You are known. Chosen, not in the abstract. Chosen, not in a random draw from a twirling basket, picking a number associated with your what might happen to be your name, but foreknown for this home. When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place, He doesn't say, and we'll see who ends up there. He says, I go to prepare a place, and I prepare a place for you. My mom, when she gets home from, she's traveling now, but when she gets home down there, she's going to make the beds. Not wondering who might show up on Wednesday, but knowing that we're showing up on Wednesday. Us, her family. Elect exiles according to the foreknowledge of God. Why is this a big deal? Because when God places them in Asia, Bithynia, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, wherever they may be in that world, or Columbus, Pataskala, wherever you may be in this world as a stranger and alien, it is not outside of God's knowledge and purpose. It is actually part of the plan. Wherever you are is where God planned us to be with the ultimate purpose of bringing us home. We're not stranded. We may be exiles, but we are not stranded forever as exiles. Peter refers to his Gentile audience as these elect people, using language that was used of the Old Testament saints. You got to love how we saw that this morning with Peter. I mean, rather with the apostles. Yeah, Peter was one of them. As they set apart and said, look, select seven from among you. Because we're ordering the church. Because that's what God's servants do. God gives them the ordering of the church for its worship and its fellowship and all those things. And that's what they're doing when they set apart deacons this morning. And now Peter says, you know what? You're elect because there's no difference between you and Abraham. None. There's no lesser blessing for you than Jacob or Judah or Joshua or David. Second, there's this comfort of the Lord's secure hold because there is someone who has set you above and beyond the place that the world puts you in. There's someone who has set you above, beyond the place that you presently sit in the world. Someone who makes you part of that family. You are elect exiles according to the foreknowledge of the God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit, sanctification, a setting apart of the sinner to God by a cleansing, makes that sinner now to be holy and acceptable in God's sight. The Spirit is sanctifying them. You are there and you have not become them. You have not become a Pontus pagan. You haven't. Just like moving to Ohio doesn't necessarily make you a Buckeye, does it? Right? The Spirit is sanctifying them. Were He not doing this, they would not be called the elect or chosen, would not have comfort. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "We should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." You are the elect exiles by the sanctification of the Spirit. There's work and work at you, in you, excuse me. There's a person at work in you, and that is the Holy Spirit who has set you apart. And you feel like you are in that place, but if in the Northeast, people who had come from foreign countries and were strangers in America established their little, they call them, at least in my area, sportsman's club, the Irish club, the Italian club, the Portuguese club, where the people would gather. And they would remember who they are, and they remember their heritage. And we have a Spirit who has set us apart. We will never again be pagans. We'll never again be pagans. This world will never, ever again be for us the greatest thing we will ever know. Because we're set apart by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But all this is pointing somewhere. It's the comfort that secures us. It's the goal of God's foreknowledge of the Father, the goal of the sanctification by the Spirit. And these words in the second part of verse 2, for obedience to Jesus Christ, for the sprinkling of His blood. Peter speaks of these things to point us to that goal about why and where we belong. What he's after, what Peter is building in that sentence for, is to emphasize, as he does throughout his epistle, is the obedience as strangers, obedience still to the covenant sealed in the blood of Christ. Yes, you're strangers. But Peter doesn't say you're exiled strangers, but so, and he doesn't say, and I know, you know, you're going to have to conform a little bit. You're going to have to be that. When you move to Ohio, you're going to have to give up those Michigan roots or whatever it is. He doesn't say that at all, because you are elect exiles, chosen, sanctified for this reason, that wherever you are, Pontus, Bithynia, Galatia, you are set apart for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood. You are set apart even there for the continued washing of your sins in His blood, for the continued identification as Christ, as belonging to Christ, as being a Christian. You're a Christian at home, you go to university, you're a Christian freshman. God has foreknown you, He has sanctified you by the Spirit, in order that when you go to that place, when you go to that basic training, that you, even there you are a Christian. When you go to that community, you're not familiar with anyone there, you're still a Christian. You have the sprinkling of the blood. You are there for the obedience of Christ. You are there to live as strangers, but nevertheless under the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in new life wherever you are. Just like you might get that note from your parent when you get off to college, and they're concerned about you because they're parents, and they write you and say, remember who you are. I've heard those words from you. Remember who you are. Here's my gift to you. Here's my comfort to you as you're sitting with your new roommate who's blasting his music in your dorm room on the university campus. And you're about to go through your first class in university, which is usually some kind of tolerance class and some kind of something to tell you that you are not to in any way think less of anyone else for their personal choices or live out yours if you're a Christian. And the letter you get is, it's strange there, but remember who you are. You're elect exiles. God knows where you are. You are set apart by the Spirit. You are secure, and you are there for obedience to Jesus Christ. We're here for obedience to Christ and the sprinkling of His blood. We're here to live out the covenant. We're here to live out what it's like to have come down from heaven, because we were raised up with Him in heavenly places. We were seated with Him in the heavenly places. We should be living as those who have already seen our heavenly home. And no, there's just no place that compares with it, and we're not going to give it up for anything. That twin bed is so comfortable back home. And those things that pass for a mattress and basic training, they just don't, or that cot out in the field in the woods, it's just not the same. And you know it's not the same. Status of these people is one secured by the sovereign purpose of God. What a care package for the saints. The Old Testament saints, they got their care packages. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 13. Yeah, it's the heroes of the faith, right? The roll call and memory of those who trusted in the Lord in years past. All these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. He said, look, this is how the Old Testament saints lived. They lived as strangers and aliens. But they lived as strangers and aliens who had nevertheless welcomed that care package, welcomed what was coming from a distance, confessing all the while the blood of Christ. They're confessing the blood of Christ as they waited for their home. Peter sends this letter with a special care for those struggling to live faithful lives in a strange land. This is for us. This is for us to help us living as strangers in a strange land. It's nicely wrapped in a very large box, because Peter says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. The package comes with a healthy dose of grace and peace. This is enough cookies to last you a week, says the note. Right? Yeah. Eat them, enjoy them. There's enough there. There's enough grace and peace. Are you in Bithynia? Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You missing home? There's grace and peace for that. You feeling tempted? There's grace and peace for that. You feel like you're being conformed? There's grace and peace for that. You feel alone? There's peace and grace and peace for that. Read 1 Peter and read it as if you were sitting in a dorm room away from home with your new roommate inviting you out to do something that you never would have done at home. The pressure's all around you. Take a piece of that grace and peace and enjoy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this letter. Some of us, Father, may have letters that we received. We were away from home and we kept them because they meant so much to us and mean so much to us. Father, help us to keep this word. To hold on to 1 Peter. Say, this is something we keep. This is something we read over and over and over again to remind us of home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.